Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, June 9th, 2025. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. Just to share a few helpful tips, people who are joining through phone calls, you can press star 6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can raise or lower your virtual hands by pressing star 9. Everyone who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself and click on the raise hand icon to virtually raise or lower your hands. If you're able to use these tools, it's helpful because then we know that somebody's trying to make comments and we can take the speakers in the order received. I do request everyone to please stay on mute unless speaking because that helps eliminate any external noise. As you know that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this call. Therefore, when speaking, please state your name before your comments because it helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It helps people listening on the phone calls and people who listen to the audio recording afterwards. We also request speakers to please describe themselves briefly when initially speaking. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian, I wear reading glasses, I have long dark hair, and I'm wearing a black and yellow and white top. Steve, once you're captain, I can go ahead and take the roll call of the committee members. I can read the agenda before I take the roll call of the committee members. Is that, do you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Please do. I do. Thank you.
Before I start reading the agenda, I will go ahead and share my screen. When the screen is visible, if somebody can confirm for me that, I will appreciate that.
I can see it.
Thank you so much. Okay, so after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the committee members. And afterwards, the committee will go through the review and approval of today's meeting agenda, last month's meeting minutes. Afterwards, we will discuss the restrooms availability in Metro Rail stations. We have a wonderful team to talk about phase one of summer 2025 shutdown. Sandy Newsel and the committee will discuss wayfinding signage review as was done in a couple of months ago, comparison of stations at Lafon Plaza, Metro Center, Roslyn, and Gallery Place. We are going to have Sarah Meyer, the Executive Vice President and Chief Customer Experience and Engagement Officer, to talk about some customer service inquiry related topics. At 5:30, we will have a committee discussion about member comments and discussions. Public comment period will be at 5:45, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I will stop sharing my screen now. Going to the roll call of the committee members, when I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Susan Bowmaster. Okay. I will request everyone to please stay on mute unless speaking. That helps us eliminate any external noise. Thank you so much. Donnie Spush. Tino Calabia.
Alert. Audio now.
Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
Here.
Juan Farmer. Debbie Fisher. Marcy Goldstein. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazel. Swatha Nandakumar.
I'm here.
Thank you. Sandy Newsel. I believe Sandy is connected on the meeting.
Present, sorry.
Thank you. Bill Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Sarah Rod.
Present.
Doris Ray, Denise Rush, Paul Samaford, Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simoneau. Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. Vice Chair Kaffin, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Okay, thank you very much. Sandy, are you going to present the minutes from last month's meeting? Or
well, everybody should have had a chance to read the meeting minutes, but the topics that were covered were sort of the new bus route rollout, and also we discussed the signage issues, that questions that I was raising for static signage in Metro Rail stations for future signs. So there were just two big topics last meeting.
Right. Thanks very much. Anu, do we need an approval for that, or just a reminder, a presentation?
You do need to go through the motion for approval of last month's meeting minutes and today's meeting agenda.
Okay. For today's meeting agenda, are there any suggestions for updates or changes? Hearing none, is there anyone who disapproves of the meeting agenda for today? Okay, so the meeting agenda is approved. With respect to the meeting minutes, do we have any additions or suggested changes to it? Hearing none, Anu, I think we can call the meeting minutes approved. Thank you. So moving on to the first item on the agenda for today, restroom availability, which we've discussed a number of times, and we have a presentation to give us an update of the restroom situation at the various metro stations. Who is in line to give that, Anu?
The presenter may be a bit delayed. So if you would like, we could move the agenda slightly. And if Sandy doesn't mind, we could begin, take a few minutes for her topic, and then we can come back to
okay,
the
sure.
topic.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you.
Sandy?
Hi, everyone. I hope you all had a chance to look at the images and discussion again. But basically, I sent out a draft sort of words to pass along, but I need, you know, we really should come to a consensus. And the issue is static signage in Metro rail stations that Metro is testing out a couple of variations on things. And this is really apparent at L'Enfant Plaza, Roslyn, Metro Center, Gallery Place. These are two level stations, and wayfinding within the station can be a little bit confusing to new people. And the goal here is to make the wayfinding signage as best as possible for people who have low vision. And in solving that, it should make signage very readable for people with normal vision. So I think I ended up with about six topics. Oh my goodness, I didn't really review this properly myself. So let's say you're starting in you get off of a train at the lower level in a metro station. So how do you find the elevators if you have walking challenges, or you're pushing a stroller, or you're wheeling a suitcase? And in some cases, the signs, I gave examples and pictures. Sometimes the arrow and the symbol for the elevators are in black on a white rectangle that includes all of the symbols. And in some cases, the symbols are in black on individual white circles. And the question is, which is easier for your eyes and your brains to interpret? This arrow refers to finding the symbols that are above it, especially the elevator symbol. So if it's in separate circles, is that harder to associate with the symbol above it than if it's all on one white rectangle, which is inclusive of the circle? I mean, excuse me, the arrow and the elevator symbol. Any thoughts or comments?
Well, Sandy, this is Phil Posner. The elevator symbols, you hit it on the head. It's very good, but the problem is, one, finding the elevator. Second, where does the elevator go? Particularly in the multiple platform stations, a lot of out-of-town people don't know the difference between platform, mezzanine, street, and places like La Famposa. It's a disaster. And the other situation is on the stations where you're changing trains, you may have to go up a level and then go across and down a level to get the train you really want. At places like Foggy Bottom, it's wonderful. You just walk across the platform. But at places like Lanfan Plaza, you need to actually go to the opposite platform. And so what we discussed was the sign gets you to the elevator, but once you're at the elevator, it needs to tell you where you're going. Are you going? Yes, exactly. And the other thing is, a lot of the signs are typically put on the wall where the train is. And so you can't see the sign until the train pulls out of the station.
I would beg to differ with you, Bill. In some of what you said, so in all of these stations, the lower level, there's just one platform. So yes, if you're going up, it's very important which side you go to, but when you're going down, it's the elevators, escalators, stairs will take you to a central platform, or in the case of Roslyn, just one side, but that is correct. So yes, in Gallery Place and in Metro Center and in L'Enfant Plaza, if you're, you know, on a green, if you're on the line that's arrives at the upper level and you need to turn around and go the opposite direction, yes, you have to go up and over and down again, or down and then back up again. But if you're on the upper level and you need to switch to a line that's on the lower level, you just go downstairs and you're good to go, because both directions are from that same platform. But your point is well taken, that, you know, depending on where you are in the station, the arrows to the elevator do need to indicate, is that an elevator to the street level? Is it an elevator to the upper, the lower level, whatever? Obviously, if you're on the lower level, it's the elevator is going to the upper level, but you need to know which side. Good point. If you're on the upper level, it doesn't matter. You're just going down to the lower level. You're good to go. But I admit I did not get into that level of detail. I did find that once you get to an elevator, the signage above the door on the elevator is very clear, saying what platform, what level it's going to, and whether you need to go to the other side, so to speak, you need to get to the opposite platform, I found that signage very clear above the elevator doors.
Sandy, I remember a while back one of the issues, and Phil, maybe you can affirm this or correct me, was that at some elevators, the buttons were reversed. And so there was an element of inconsistency. Is that still an issue based upon what you've seen or not really?
My observation has been that it's
The new
the
elevators have been fixed, but there's still some of the old elevators that are in service, and those haven't been fixed yet.
I would say they are pretty consistent about, one button is to call the operator for help and the other button is to get the elevator to move, and I'm or to come to you to call the elevator. And I think it's the upper one is the calling for help, and the lower one is the calling for the elevator. I think that's pretty consistent.
It is now. It's
Yeah,
getting
okay.
better as they redo all the elevators and escalators.
Yeah. Okay, well, you all should, weigh in. There's a small turnout on this.
And is Sarah has her hand up. Sarah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Thank you.
Yes, hi. This is Sarah, and today I am greeting you all from Florida, and I'm sitting out on a veranda in a black tank top. Anyway, trying to answer your exact question, Sandy, looking at the two signs, I'm trying to flip back and forth between what you sent and the screen, and it's not easy because I'm working on a small phone. But I don't know that it matters to me so much whether you've got a white background within a black circle and then the white on top of the black, because you still have the white print on the black background. I don't think that the white stripe really helps me. It does draw your eye a bit, but that the one that you sent the photo of, if I recall correctly, has an arrow at the top and then the elevator symbol and then something below it that I can't even make out. It might be words or something. But there's not the wheelchair symbol on that white stripe, and that is hard for me because that wheel the elevator symbol to me is not as clear as to what you're getting at as the wheelchair symbol is. It's kind of it's a box and it's a and I don't really necessarily know what that means. I'm not sure there is a universal elevator symbol, whereas there is the wheelchair symbol to me is clear what you're getting at. So I would just say I would prefer the wheelchair symbol, regardless of whether it's just the white circle with the black writing or a white circle with a black writing on then on a white stripe. If that's helpful.
Yes, that is helpful. And there was one instance where the universal accessibility wheelchair symbol was missing. And that's a very good point. I had been riding Metro for years and never realized what the box with arrows going up and down meant. And that it's a sort of a weird symbol that indicates elevator. And I have to admit, I didn't pay attention to it, because I wasn't looking for an elevator, but it is an odd symbol that's hard, in my opinion, to interpret. So.
So, and then I also had sent a note, and I don't know if it went through or not because I've been having some connectivity issues down here, trying to resend some photos that I took. It's not the two level, more complicated station, but just simply from Union Station about a month ago, where there were no signs at all for where the elevator was, either on that big sign over the rails or then on the pillars. It was only on one of the sides of the pillars. So, my daughter and I had gotten off of a train and we were looking around and looking around and trying to figure out where to go for the elevator. And it took us going up the platform one way and then turning around to go back till we saw it on the back side of the pillar. So I would just like to see them all kind of in the same place on every station. That would be the consistency would be really helpful.
Your message did come through, and I
Oh, good.
apologize that I didn't incorporate that well. And that speaks to Phil Posner's point that, in some cases, some of this information is on the wall behind where the train would be, so you wouldn't see it until the train left. I guess where I was seeing it was on walls where there was not a train between you and the wall. You were standing on a platform and the sign was on the wall, 2, 3 feet away from you. But that
Right.
consistency in the middle of a platform, so that or on a platform in a location that it can always be seen regardless of whether a train is in the station, is a good point.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking if we're going to have those symbols on some of the stations, we should have those symbols there on all of the stations. And again, just sort of the consistency, if they're going to be ones on those big over rail signs, because those are the biggest, those are definitely the biggest signs around. Then let's do it on all of them the same way in the same place.
Well, that sounds great. But the other problem at Union Station for new people, the platform in the middle of the station only goes up a level, but then you have to find the other elevator
Yeah.
that goes to the street. So the people that commute regularly, like me, know you go to the end elevator and that lets you off at the elevator that goes to the street. But if you take the other one, you're sort of in the middle of if it's running, because often it doesn't run. That's how I discovered the other one, because the one that I get off the train, it always says the elevator is not functioning. So you go to the end of the station and find that one, and that takes you to a second elevator, which takes you to the street. Or you wander around and you're in Union Station in the lobby.
Okay, so
And the Union Station is a major disaster because they don't have wheelchair ramps at some of the places.
yeah.
So, but that's not Metro's problem. Union Station is federal.
Right, and also I didn't want to add more confusion. I mean, there's all of the elevators like at the street level that you can't find because they're actually not at the station. They're a half a block away or something. But that's a whole another can of worms.
Well, Judiciary Square. One's at one end and one's at the other end of the square, and you've got to find which one to take depending on which direction you're going to. And you can't get to the mezzanine if you're in a wheelchair.
Okay, so I'm listening and I'm scribbling notes because those are points I didn't address and they're very valid points.
This is
It's
Suava. What about stations like at L'Enfant where they have like one elevator that goes like you have the like you have like, you, like when you're on the upper platform, like you have to find the one elevator that on the one side that only goes down.
tricky. I believe each side at wait a minute, were you saying Gallery Place or L'Enfant? L'Enfant.
L'Enfant, yeah, because Gallery Place and Metro Center have the two have elevators on both sides, but L'Enfant does not. So I've gotten lost in the conversation a lot of times trying to figure out where to go. So.
But when you're going down, then you're good to go, because red, I mean, excuse me, orange, blue, and silver go both directions. So is your point that you're trying to come back up, go down, and then come back up to the other side of the upper level at
Yeah.
L'Enfant? Okay.
Yes, and they have to, like then you have to find the elevator. The one el no, the one elevator goes to one side of the platform. If you want to go to the other end, you have to take the other elevator, then go up and go back up to the mezzanine, and then go back down and that one that the adventure trying to find that out when you can't see the signs or when you don't see signs at all.
Yes, L'Enfant's
Right,
another
right.
problem also, because there are the shuttle buses, the waterfront, and then there are all the federal buildings. And depending upon which exit you take at L'Enfant, you could wind up on the plaza in the middle of a federal console of unmarked buildings and be totally lost.
Yep.
Or if you're lucky, you can wind up right on the corner where there's a big sign that says Shuttle 2 or where. And so the L'Enfant Plaza signage is not just what you addressed, which is really important, which is the lettering and the background, but the information for people trying to get someplace as to which buildings are at which exit or which shuttles are at which exit.
Which exit have the elevator too? Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Sandy, we're getting close to our next grouping for on the agenda, but we do have some cushion time towards the end. Shall we move further discussion on this till the end when between 5:30 and 6 we have some flexible and free time?
Yes, absolutely, especially if the other speakers have arrived.
Yes, it looks like they have.
Okay, great.
Okay. Thanks very much. The next subject is rather important, and that's the summer 2025 shutdown. And we have a number of speakers who will let us know what's happening. So please go right ahead. We have Teresa Thomas, Bobby Gilchrist, Huan Li, and Erica Cunningham.
All right.
I'll go ahead. I'll go ahead and start. Anu, can you show the slide?
So if you would give me just a quick moment and I'll share.
Okay, sure. And while Anu is bringing that up, this shutdown is due to some work that's being conducted on the Blue Line from Franconia up to King Street, Franconia, Springfield, and Van Dorn are the closed stations. The other two that are affected are Eisenhower and King Street are open stations. So we're only dealing with two closed stations, which again are Franconia Springfield and Van Dorn service. Go to the next slide, please. Okay. So these are the two services that we are providing because of this construction on the Blue Line. We are providing a local service that will be operating between King Street, Eisenhower, Van Dorn, and Franconia. The travel time is about 45 minutes, and we'll have 28 buses throughout the day to execute the service. This is during the weekday. The other service is an express providing direct service from Pentagon straight to Franconia Springfield. The travel time is about 33 minutes, and we'll have 24 buses executing that service. And that's during the weekday from July 5th to July 26th. Next, Anu. This is the weekend service. Same thing. We're providing two services, the local and the express. The only difference here is that Metrobus is operating the local service on the weekend, and the contractor is operating the express. And as you can see, we have 28 buses throughout the day for the local service operating between King and Franconia Springfield. And we'll have 24 express buses operating direct between Pentagon and Franconia Springfield. That is the weekend service. From July 5th to the 26th. Next slide. Excuse me. This is phase one. As you may know, we have two phases for this summer extended. This is phase one of Van Dorn and Franconia Springfield are closed from July the 5th to the 26th. Service resumes on the 27th of July. Free shuttle service will be provided throughout the Metro Rail operating hours. As you can see the graphic to the left, the key takeaway here is that customers can pick up the blue and yellow at Ronald Reagan National Airport. That's where the blue line service resumes. Next slide. But King Street, just a quick overview of King Street if you're not familiar with it. We will be operating the local service out of Bus Bay D. Bus Bay D is the first bus bay you will see as you exit or enter King Street. You can't miss it. It has a green, yellow signage, and you'll see other people out there kind of highlighting this is the bus bay for the shuttle. There is no express from King Street to Franconia. And you'll see a little bit of our buses staging throughout the King Street. Next slide, please. Eisenhower. The Eisenhower local stop is Bus Bay F in both directions. So we only have one bus bay going in both directions. And you won't see much going on here at Eisenhower because there's no relocations of service. There's no express. You'll see a sign saying local en route to Franconia Springfield or going in the other direction, which is King Street. But the bus bay will operate as Bus Bay F. Next slide. Van Dorn. We will operate the shuttle service going in both directions out of Bus Bay D. We did have to relocate the Fairfax Connector 109 to Bus Bay D, from Bus Bay D to Bus Bay F. But both the local going in both directions will operate out of Bus Bay D. Next slide. Franconia Springfield. We have the two services operating out of this station. The first is the express. That's the service going straight from Franconia Springfield to the Pentagon, operating out of Bus Bay D. That is the first bus bay as you enter or exit the station. And then the very next bus bay is Bus Bay C. We'll operate the local service. We had a few relocations. As you can see, the Fairfax Connector, all four lines, the 50, 51, 52, 53, were relocated from Bus C and D to Bus Bay A and B. You will see buses staged throughout the station here at Franconia Springfield. Next slide. The Pentagon. We are running an express from Franconia Springfield straight to the Pentagon. As you can see, Bus Bay U13 is the bus bay that we will operate the express out of. The A28 will be relocated from Bus Bay 13 about 15 feet up, which is Bus Bay U12. You will see buses staged in this area. That's a cue for anyone going to the Pentagon. Wherever you see the buses staging at the Pentagon, the bus bay is near. Next slide. Okay, before we're not going to go into that, right? We're not going into phase two, correct?
Yes, we will come back for phase two next.
Okay, time. So I would like to open up any questions that anyone has about the two services that we are providing from July the 5th to July the 26th. Sarah?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, because this is my neighborhood and stomping grounds here. King Street will be open and operating as normal. There's just buses coming into it. Is that correct?
Yes, King Street is an open terminal. That's just the endpoint for the local service.
Okay, and I would assume the same with Braddock and Potomac Yards then too.
Yes, all of that's open. The only stations are Franconia Springfield and Van Dorn. Everything else is open.
Excellent, thank you.
Sure.
This is Swatha again. Will the trains will like the announcements will say that this train ends at King Street, right? Well, at the same time.
Teresa, you want to speak to any kind of rail communication?
I'll repeat the question. Good afternoon, everyone.
Yeah. Hi, I'm sorry. So, I was asking, will the train announcements will they be modified to reflect this change? Like, will it say like this? But this is a Blue Line train to King Street Station, Old Town.
Yes, for the end of the service being for the Blue Line, in tradition, we have had announcements made prior to. So as you're approaching King Street, you all will be notified over the loudspeaker that that is the last train.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Senator Teresa, did you have any information that you'd like to share in addition to Bobby Gilchrist's information about the rail?
I just wanted to let people know for this outage exactly what's going on. So the inconvenience for the time frame from July 5th through the 26th with return to service on July 27th is to concentrate on our train control room upgrades at Telegraph Road and also Franconia Springfield. And then we have rail renewal that will also take place. And then we have relamping and repairing of our lighting system along with some roof replacement and some station signage. Upgrades and repairs, both interior and exterior.
Okay. One thing, as we know, I think in a couple of weeks, Washington, D.C. will be hosting one of the World Cup team matches here, and there may be, there may be more users of the transit system during that period of time. But it looks like Washington National Airport won't be affected. Because the work is being done outside of it. Is that correct, Teresa, from what the maps show?
Correct. National Airport Station will be in full service. Everyone will be able to travel well from that station.
Okay, that's great. Any other questions or comments relating to the summer shutdown of those stations?
Dr.
Oh,
Polzer has
Phil.
a hand up. Yes.
Yes,
Phil, go ahead, sir.
thank you. Eisenhower Avenue is where the National Science Foundation is located. And a number of the people at the National Science Foundation live in Virginia and take the Orange Line. And currently, one can take the Orange Line to Ross Lynn, then take the Blue Line to King Street, and then transfer to get to Eisenhower Avenue or get off at Pentagon and get a green line that will take you to Eisenhower Avenue. So the question is, it's all complicated and it's only a couple of weeks, but how would you get from, let's say, Ballston or from the Silver Line to Eisenhower Avenue in less than 2 days?
Okay, so our Yellow Line service will still be in operation. So you will still have access to Eisenhower Station. We also have bus shuttles from, let's say, if you're coming from Franconia Springfield Inn, you'll be able to take a shuttle that will take you directly to King Street, and then you can transfer from there. We also have different options, and they will also be available in our trip planner. So planning accordingly is definitely going to help in that regard.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Anu, if you don't mind, I would like to go into some of the ADA compliance because it came up on our last meeting, and I just wanted to make everyone comfortable about ADA compliance. So first, there will be a wheelchair accessible van staged at every affected station. That's option one. We always encourage the customer who may be using a mobility device to take option one, which is the van, because it's more much more efficient travel. Option two, let's say the van is not there, it's already on an assignment. You missed it by 2 minutes, it just left. So now you can take the Metro bus on the weekend or the contract bus on the weekday. The travel is probably going to take you about 5 or 10 minutes longer, but you have that option of waiting for that van to come back, or you can take a Metro bus or a contract bus. So you actually have two options when you're catching a shuttle from Franconia up to King Street and the Pentagon. Speaking of buses, the buses, it's federal law that the first four seats from left to right are for people with disabilities and seniors. All staff is trained on how to assist people with disabilities or differing abilities. So the staff is aware of what is going on with that type of service, the contract staff to include the Metro staff. So I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that was what we have planned for assisting people with disabilities or differing abilities. Any questions concerning ADA compliance? Back
hey,
to you,
Bobby. This is Barbara Millville. Good to see you. I want to also state that, you know, there will be announcements made by the bus operators letting people know when their stop is about to come up.
Yes, you got me on that, Barbara. I forgot to mention that. But that's part of the training that the operators make sure that they announce the next stop, the current stop, and any other information that they think is relevant. We are dealing with contractors, so it may take us a minute or two to get them coached up. Shouldn't be a problem on the weekends with the Metro bus operators, but the contractors, we just ask for a little bit of patience as we get them coached up on all the announcements. They're not as familiar with all of the stations, so once we get them familiar with all of the stations, then they should be able to announce. Next station is Eisenhower.
Thanks for your good work, Bobby and team.
Any other questions on ADA compliance? Back to you, Anu.
Thank you, Bobby. And Teresa, if you have any additional information, please, you know, come off of mute and share. And any other team members that have joined you this afternoon, if any additional information is needed, please let us know. But I think you have, Bobby, you have described the information pretty well, and there are no questions from the committee at this point.
Yeah, thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Teresa. Excellent presentation, including the graphics. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Philip.
I see our fearless leader, Tino, has joined us. Tino looking very relaxed, and it almost looks like you're in California.
You're on mute, Chair.
You're on mute.
And Vice Chair Caffin, I just want to say that to discuss the metro restrooms availability in Metro Rail stations, we do have, excuse me, Johannes, he is the Director of Mechanical Systems and Facility Maintenance. And I would like to thank Hanek for coming and sharing information with the committee this afternoon. So Hanek, it's all yours.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. And I think I have met many of you or some of you when we had the site visit at our graphic shop. So it's great to meet with this team once again. So for our restrooms, so within the facilities, what we strive for is we upgrade all our restrooms to the best possibility to make it accessible. One of the key challenges that we have as it relates to the station restrooms when we try to have it available is that lot of our restrooms are in the ancillary rooms behind the door. So there's some challenge to bring those areas to accessibility to have it accessible. However, we strive to do our best. So in our restroom renovations, what we do is we upgrade the system, including the handrails. What can be done in there? The handrails, raising the stool or putting the mirror, hand wash systems, all those are the areas that we constantly upgrade. And but the challenge again, or the door seals also, we adjust. But the challenge that we often face is accessing the door, or as it has some turns. Also, we adjust the doors pressure to as low as possible. We try to maintain it within 5 foot pound of in order to have it available. But that sometimes that poses a separate challenge, and because of the weight of the door. So when that is the case, then we have station managers readily available to assist if the door pressure is a challenge. So that's what we've done in our restrooms. We continue to do that at all times. And one of the great things on our new stations is, as we open new stations such as Potomac Avenue Station, sorry, Potomac Yard Station, or the Silver Line Phase Twos, we actually have the restrooms as part of the design criteria, and they're accessible where you don't have to go through the ancillary rooms or service room to get to those restrooms. So that's in a nutshell of what we've been doing to bring these restrooms available.
Okay, thank you, Hanek. Are there any questions or comments relating to what we just learned?
Yes, Vice Chair Caffin, Vanessa just raised her hand. Vanessa, go ahead.
Alert. Audio.
Yes, hi. Thank you. My name is Vanessa Coase. I'm a African American female, of course, and I have on a t-shirt and layered hair today. So my questions concerning the restrooms, are they labeled male, women, men, or is it a unisex?
Alert.
And also,
But
I
let
wanted
me to
to know if there's Braille going to be on those signage.
Thank you.
Alert.
That's a great question. So those restrooms are unisex. They are customer and employee restrooms. So we do not have male or female restrooms. So that way we can have it available as much as possible. As far as the Braille, all our signage, we strive for to have it accessible. So we add Braille. So there are any locations that you've come across that doesn't have any, please do let us know, and we'll do our best to get it. We have a new machine like we visited last time, so we can incorporate the Brailles in there.
Alert.
Okay,
Audio
great.
now
Thank
unmuted.
you.
Thank you, Vanessa.
You're
Next is
welcome.
Sandy Neuzel, Sandy, and then Sarah Rod. So, Sandy, go ahead.
Hi, this is Sandy Neuzel. So is this still a case of you need to ask the station manager to let you in because it's in sort of metro control or maintenance territory? But then the second question part of that is you mentioned Braille signage to help people find something. Will the signage be visible to the public, or is that after the station manager lets you into the controlled area?
So, yes, so the station manager will have to let you in into those control areas. And the station man, once you're entered, it will have a sign where it is a customer restroom and employee restrooms.
Okay, so just to be clear, there's a separate employee restroom from the customer restroom.
That is correct. When you
Oh,
enter,
okay.
yes.
Okay. And each of them are unisex.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Sarah, go ahead.
So I I just wanted to say compliments. The ones that are in Potomac Yard are nice and new and very handy. But I could swear those are separate male and female and not unisex. But then I'm wondering, I'm a little confused because those are obviously, they're easy to find, they're easy to identify. They're out in an area where you can get to them and see them easily, that kind of thing. For the older stations, the ones you're talking about, is there signage saying to go ask the station manager for restrooms? Or if somebody's wondering, what are they supposed to do?
So we are piloting. I have to find give you an update on that. We are piloting different type of signage to do the communication. So there was about six stations. I don't have those lists right in front of me, but that we pilot. So we can continuously improving our communication also.
Okay, Hannah, could I ask you just for clarification? You're saying that the station, the restrooms remain locked, and the station manager needs to get a request in order to open them. Is that right?
That is correct because a lot of by design, a lot of these restrooms are in the back and the ancillary rooms behind the closed door. So yes, they would have to communicate with the station managers.
I see Pat Sheehan has raised her hand. Pat, go ahead.
Thank you, Anu. Very good to talk with you again, sir. I appreciate it. Asking what is the requirement under ADA for accessible bathrooms? I think some of the bathrooms in the older stations are probably not wheelchair accessible.
Correct. So, in order for it, based on the ADA requirement, in order for it to have a wheelchair accessible from the point of entry, all the turning radius have to be in consideration. And that is where we face a challenge on the old stations or any existing stations because of the rooms designed.
Right. And but is the requirement that they be accessible, or that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah,
For stations that pre-existed 1990 and or the ADA, let's say.
Our we work with our ADA office constantly, and that is when we get these locations or deficiencies. If it is within, in some cases, on some instances, in order for it to have wheelchair accessible, you would have to tear down the walls, which is nearly impossible to do so, right? So those are the challenge that, but in everything that we can, in order to make it accessible, we'll do our best to accomplish that.
Right. And I know the challenge, of course, is the wheelchair turning radius and all of that stuff. Okay, good. Let's see. For the new stations, Potomac Yard and also on the Silver Line, is the for new stations, is there a requirement then to put in the accessible bathrooms as part of the overall design for new stations?
That is correct, yes.
Okay.
And that's
Okay.
why Potomac Yard and the new Silver Line Phase 2 are accessible from outside, and you don't have to go through the service gate.
Good. And then my last thing would be, it'd be great to be able to improve the signage as much as possible, as best we can, showing how to get to the bathrooms in the older stations. Understand that kind of reminds me of what we had to do with elevators when we had to put elevators back in the older buildings because of ADA requirements, which was mandatory back then. Yeah. Okay. Good. Thank you for explaining that to me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. Vanessa, did you have any additional
Alert. Audio now.
I did. I was just thinking, I wanted to know, that sounds good if you have onesie, twosie people that want to go in there, but what happens when you have a mass amount of people? They realize that there's restrooms in there and they all want to line up to use the bathroom. And then my other thing is it several stalls or is this individual or family style? What do the insides look like?
In most cases, they are individual stools, and because you have to lock it once you go inside, so they are not intended for multi-use purpose.
So then if you have a lot of folks that are trying to use the restroom and you're going to ask the staff to come open the door, so you're going to have a line of people that need to come use the bathroom. How are you guys going to handle that?
Yeah, so that would be the station manager will have to let them in one person at a time. That is correct.
So they line out not in that area, but somewhere out on a mausoleum or something. And where are they going to line up?
That's the only area they can line up. That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa. I do not see any additional hands up. So, Hanek, thank you. Good to have you at the meeting. And is
Anu,
Chair Calabia or I'm sorry,
Anu,
yes,
Anu.
Mr. Kumar, please go
This is
ahead.
Don. Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't find the hands up on
No,
my computer for some reason today. I
please
do
go
have
ahead.
one question, Hanuk.
Yes.
Thank you very much for making the presentation. I hope you're still on. Yeah, there you
Yes,
are.
I'm still, yes.
Yes. So I do have a question. When this was raised to my attention, I'm a board member, and when this was raised to my attention, one of the questions was, every station does not have accessible capabilities in the restrooms. And from a board member perspective, what is the game plan for bringing all of the stations up to speed with accessible restroom capabilities? And the second part of that question would be, would it be possible to give this committee a status of where we stand? In other words, first, a report that says in each jurisdiction, this is where we stand with accessible restrooms, and this is where we stand with correcting our shortfalls, and this is the planning and programming we have in place to correct the shortfalls over time.
Okay, so thank you. That's the loaded questions. I'll try to answer them. So on the areas where one of the key challenges is, again, is we strive to have as much as possible to have them all accessible. And when we are inside, that's why we have renovated those restrooms, adding handrails, grab rails, adjusting the stool height to make to be ADA compliant, and also adjusting the mirrors and the entrance doors. Our key challenge continues to be the way the stations are designed, because these are the parlors, especially as you enter those stations on a service area. There's a very short turning radius on those stations, so those are the stations. What we have done is we went back and picked stations. Okay, what can we do with these stations to make them available? And then we went ahead and then make all the adjustments what that we can. Some of the stations are beyond what we can do because of the original design aspect of those restrooms, because they were not intended for public access when they were originally designed, right? So we did adjust our design criteria to ensure that any new stations that are built are ADA compliant, and they have accessibility is part of the core decision making on the design. On the ones that are ex on the pre-existing restrooms, we are constantly working to ensure that they are accessible also. In order to make the list, I'll take it to my team, and we'll try to do our best to see which ones are can be accessed or cannot be accessed.
Okay, thank you for that response. To manage expectations for this subcommittee, I just want to be sure. I'm trying to get away from speaking with a big hand over a little map. We want to get into specifics. And I think it would be very good. I know for a fact that you all do know exactly what restrooms are, which ones are accessible, which ones aren't. And you just introduced us to some good information that says some cannot be fixed in their current configuration, and that's okay. But it would be good for this committee, I think, this subcommittee, to know here is the entire landscape. This is where we stand. Here's a requirement that's mandated, piggybacking on Pat Sheehan's question. Is there a federal or a state or a local mandate that says ADA restrooms are required? And if there is, then there ought to be some funding behind it to meet that requirement at some point in time. And then, of course, there would be a target, whether it's 10 years from now, 5 years from now, or 1 year from now. And if some if it's impossible to meet that requirement, we need to acknowledge that and take that off the worry list and focus on the ones we can do. And of course, as you just stated, also ensure that future designs include the requirement. So I'm just asking that question to be sure we don't talk in generalities and we talk with specificity so we don't have to continue to revisit this issue and give them a clear understanding and maybe every 6 months or every year or so give an update on progress made to meet that requirement. Is that a fair request?
That's fair request. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I see Tino's hand is up. Tino?
Yes, thanks, Steve. The New York Transit Authority subway was built over 100 years ago with no intention to have elevators in it. The Metropolitan Transit Authority of New York is now forced to have elevators by the ADA and by suits that have been brought. And so while the problems are almost insurmountable, people have done exactly what Board Member Drummer has done, set a timetable. The timetable might be, who knows, 10, 15, 20 years, but they do have a timetable. And there is an understanding that at some point they will all have elevators in like fashion, just as our board member has pointed out. We should be able to say, well, these are not accessible. They have not been accessible. They weren't designed to be accessible, the bathrooms, the toilets. But given the necessity to have them accessible, here are the ones that aren't. Here is the timetable for doing it, and here is our target. So we have some specifics. We just can't go on and say that they were built, the stations were built without them and they're not accessible. We can't do that. We have to say that they will be accessible as they should be. It'll take time. But this is the time factor that we're introducing, a schedule. Thank you.
Thank you. Point received.
Okay.
Thank you,
Thank
Don.
you. Okay. Any other comments or questions on this subject?
So, Vice Chair Kaplan, we don't have any additional hands up. And we do have our next set of guest speakers on the call also. So again, Hannah, thank you so much for coming. And Board Member Don Drummer, Mr. Drummer, thank you for being here and being such, you have been so instrumental in many ways to the committee. So thank you.
My pleasure.
Sure.
Appreciate for having me here.
I knew I see we're running a little bit behind schedule, and I also see that Sarah Meyer is with us. So I'm
Yes.
wondering if we might move directly to Sarah because that will permit us to stay on target, at least as it relates to her presentation.
Yes, actually, it is time for their topic, and Sarah and team are available, and however they would like to start. Sure.
Hi, everybody. Happy Monday.
Thank you.
Nice to see all of you.
Yeah.
I am Sarah Meyer. I'm the Chief Customer Officer here at Metro. I am a Caucasian female with red hair, wearing a white dress today. And I'm here to talk about another initiative that I think I've talked to some of you about over the last several months. But we have been engaged on, you know, one of the things I was hired for was to try to reduce the amount of visual clutter that's in our stations, on our buses. We all know that there is a lot to communicate in terms of service information and rules and laws. There has been, you know, my colleagues have over the last many years trying to present that information in various different ways. And we are looking forward to trying to combine and use best practices and also consult with all of you to ensure that we are doing what's best to make the materials as accessible as possible. So I'm joined by two relatively new additions to the Metro team. I think some of you know my colleague, Dan Klingersroe, and Dan, I probably didn't say that right. And he has his darling 3-month-old holding up right now. And then my colleague, Sam Sarabin, who's also relatively new to our organization. Dan is a graphic designer, and Sam is in charge of our wayfinding program and execution. So Dan and his son are going to take us through our branding initiative. The hope is, again, to align all of our logos and do what we can to reduce that visual clutter and reduce the different fonts and the different styles that we have adopted over the last 40 years. So Sam will bring up the deck where we'll talk through the logos. And then we wanted to talk through the new system map, which will be coming online in June 22nd, when the rail service changes take effect. As we all know, the Silver Line will now have two terminal locations. And so we have a new map that reflects that information. Dan, do you want to take it from here?
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. Hey, everybody. And yeah, I'm with my coworker, Otis, here. So I've had the chance to meet a lot of you all through the Fair Vending Machine pilot we're doing at L'Enfant. So thank you all for your really helpful feedback on that. Oh, and just to do a appearance description. Yeah, again, my name is Dan Klingastro, graphic designer. I'm white male with black hair, black beard, holding a 5-month-old baby wearing a blue shirt. So as Sarah said, we've been working with a branding agency called Pentagram to basically try to solve some of the long-standing visual inconsistencies within our system. And one of the bigger goals of the project that we sort of referred to in shorthand as One Metro is make sure that our services come across as unified products offered by the same company, whereas it kind of currently feels like Metro Rail, Metro Bus, and Metro Access are three different companies. We want to make sure that our riders understand that it's an integrated company that offers sort of three integrated products that work together. So if you flip to the next slide, Sam, thank you.
One of my favorite talking points here is to tell all of you, right, that we have two different official Metro Reds and two different official Metro Blues. So that creates a lot of visual tension, I would say. And we always have designers that are trying to come up with solves. So, you know, Dan is here to sort of present what we think will help us resolve some of those issues.
Yeah, we can see you. Thanks, Sam. So if you go one slide forward to current primary logo, I wonder if...
I can't see it now. I don't know if the rest of the team can see the deck.
Okay. I see it, but it's still the first slide.
Bear with me then. I'm so sorry.
No worries.
We don't usually use Zoom, so thanks,
that's
guys.
That's exactly the problem.
My computer didn't have the permissions to share it. I didn't realize till the last moment with Zoom.
And then your colleague is extremely cute.
Thank you.
Okay, are we seeing the cover?
Yep, I see the cover. I see your desktop now. There we go. Yep, great. So yeah, this is just a reminder of our current logo, which has been our logo since it was drawn by a famous designer, Massimo Vignelli, you know, 50 years ago at this point. It's a great logo. We love it. It's recognizable. It's has great contrast, simple typography. And then if you skip ahead one slide, the problem we're more trying to solve is all of the sort of other logos that we have floating around. So the Metro bus logo feels, you know, totally separate from the primary Metro logo. There's the Metro Access logo that has existed in sort of different iterations. I spared you on the slide all the logos we have for departments and sub-departments and programs. If you go ahead one more slide. So this is it's a subtle change. You're sort of, if you don't notice it, and when it rolls out, that's fine. We just sort of want the cumulative effect over the next couple of years is for us to appear in a much more polished way. So just to describe the differences, basically, we're taking the word Metro out of the bounding box and placing it on our own, which allows us to make it a little bit larger relative to the rest of the logo, which helps a little bit with legibility. And then if you jump one more slide, this is, again, just sort of an appetizer of what we're doing to bring all of the different voices that we currently speak in. We want to sort of start speaking more in one voice. So this is these are the proposed new logos for our core brands, Metro Rail, Metro Bus, Metro Access. And as you can see, they all kind of click together in a much more uniform way than they did previously. One other thing that I want to share that we looked at as part of this process, because, you know, as we're introducing these changes and sort of taking the opportunity to solve nagging problems that have been with us for a long time. If you click one more slide, these I'm sure you recognize are the rail service discs. So basically, you know, the circles with the letters in them that indicate the color of the rail line. So the designers we're working with had the really great observation that we sort of lucked out that all of the colors we've selected begin with unique letters. So if you jump one more slide, part of the change we're proposing is changing from two letters inside those dots to one letter. This accomplishes a few things for us. One is that especially on more complex design, so any type of service notice that has, you know, this is happening on the red line and these two things are happening on the green line, those notices can start to look really complicated, and removing some of that visual complexity helps with that. But we also took it as an opportunity to look at legibility in terms of font size and the color of the letter inside each color of the circle. So if you go one more slide, this is a little bit confusing, but it's meant to convey it a uniform height. So if you hold the circles constant, the letters are 25% larger by nature of us only needing to fit one letter in the circle. We can make that one letter larger. So across the system, just in percentage terms, the single letter will appear larger and more legible. And we also, in consultation with Anu's team, took another look at, are we creating the maximal contrast between the foreground color and the background color, given what the colors of the lines are? And we're proposing changing the green line, which currently in the system, it's white letters on green. We realized that more contrast could be achieved by doing a black letter on a green background. Red, orange, yellow, and silver were all pretty clearly the sort of the higher contrast color was already chosen. Blue is kind of on the margins. Depending on which measure of contrast you use, black is a little bit worse or much worse. That's one decision we're thinking through. And part of that obviously is that, you know, these are mathematical calculations of contrast, but the more important feedback is kind of the real world test of people with different, you know, different types of vision or vision impairments, how these things are going to look either on screens or in print. What you're looking at, the second large row there is the proposal, which maximizes the size of each letter and maximizes the contrast relative to what the color of the line is. So I'll pause there. Folks have questions, and I don't know if Sarah or Sam, if you wanted to add anything to that.
No, that was great. Thank you, Dan. Would love to hear from you all to see what your thoughts are.
And this is Anu, Pat, and Sandy have their hands up. So Patrick, go ahead, followed by
Beautiful.
Sandy.
Thank you very much. Excellent presentation so far. I appreciate it. What is the color contrast ratio that you have for these signs right now? Is it 65%, 70%?
Yes. Yeah, so
how do you measure that?
They vary by color. So it looks like the lowest contrast is a silver line, which is 63%. The highest is the yellow line at 80%.
Beautiful.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. The lowest is the green line at 50%. Whether
green line, really?
Yeah. What's a little bit confusing is that depending on the methodology, basically depending on which web tool you use to calculate those contrasts, you get a little bit different values. And there's also some variation if you're using the RGB colors intended for a website versus print colors intending for print signage. So there's a little bit of variability. We checked it with multiple tools to sort of be sure, like, okay, yes, the tools are giving different values, but they're consistently saying, you know, white is more legible on blue versus black or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know that from the accessibility point of view, another group that I work through, ANSI, is, and the sign people are saying 65% is what they like to see as far as color contrast.
Yeah, that's consistent with what
right.
ADAP folks had shared with us too. Yep.
So you're getting the same readout. Interesting about the green. That's down to 50. Be nice to be able to bring that up. Did you, and I thought it was fascinating, you said you had two blues and two reds. Did
we
you come?
The Metro bus blue and the Metro rail blue. So now we're hoping
you're
to
fighting
just one blue. Oh.
What's that? One
I
blue?
Said the, yes, the hope is now we have one blue.
Okay, one blue. And how about one red?
Yes.
One red, really? Oh. Goodness. Okay. Great. Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate
thank you.
It.
Sandy, go ahead.
Yes. My first reaction was, oh no. But then my second reaction, when you look at the larger letters, and as you pointed out, they are bigger.
Yeah.
We could all learn to that R means red, you know, O means orange. So two thoughts. My eyes, which aren't the same as other people's eyes with low vision, and I'm not, and I don't have the calculator to know how to calculate the color contrast ratio. But my reaction to the O in the orange is I would love to see that in white. I'd like to see all of these letters in white on the background and black on the background to be able to pick out which one's better. For my eyes, and I understand that my eyes aren't the same as everybody's, but just sort of initial reactions. My second comment is, if you're going to go to exit letters A, B, C, and D, is this going to be confusing with a single B for blue?
So I think, Sam, if you wouldn't mind.
A new voice was about to enter the conversation. I'm a Caucasian male with glasses. I used to have blonde hair. It's now a little darker, and it's going gray. And I'm wearing a button-down black shirt. So that is a very interesting question. It's one that we've been contemplating, and we just recently made a decision that I expect we'll want to present to you guys in the near future. But it sounds like Sarah's comfortable with me teasing it. So that is, you notice that the Metro logo in this branding effort has been moved into a bit of a square with some rounded corners. That provides an opportunity for us to differentiate between our exits, our escalators, and our elevators.
Okay.
Basically, all the ways that you get out of our system are going to move into a rounded square, and all the directional information that's going to take you to our services will be in those circles. And the hope is that that will help differentiate between what you just described, the B of blue, and the B of an exit. And so we're looking forward to sort of putting that together in a slide deck and presenting that to you all, but also exploring it in the real world in a station, so that you all can sort of see it, we can see it, and we can see if it does what we think it can do.
Okay, so can I ask a follow-up question? And I don't know if you heard the discussion earlier in the meeting about why are some of the station's signage having a sort of a rounded rectangle white with the black symbol for elevator and arrow to lead you to that elevator. And sometimes there's a white circle with an arrow, and above that is the white circle with the elevator. Would that circle versus rectangle be used to differentiate between elevators within the station, between platforms, and elevators taking you out to street level? Is that your intent?
No, I think what you're, well, I don't think. What you're seeing are a series of design tests, pilots that have made their way into the system so that we can observe what it looks like in the real world. But you have not yet seen the most recent iteration of that philosophy. So what you're seeing right now at L'Enfant Plaza,
Roslyn.
At Roslyn, yes, at about four stations, is the first or the second iteration of that philosophy. And now we're refining it so that we can start to bring it into the guidelines manual for adoption and then system-wide implementation.
Okay, we'll stay tuned.
I don't mean to do that to you, but that's in response to your very good observation about the blue and the circle and the question of sort of the exits and how they're being lettered.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, you're up next. Pat?
Patrick, you need to unmute Pat? Yourself just in case you're speaking. Okay. Did you want to go ahead and ask a question? There you go, Pat.
I'm sorry. Ahead. Yeah, no, I'm good. I need to lower my hand. Sorry okay, about no that.
Problem.
Yep.
No problem.
Okay. Thanks. You know, I may be in the distinct minority, but I'm thinking not in terms of size but more in terms of meaningfulness of the actual letter, because otherwise we would just have the color, and not only to residents, but also to visitors. I kind of liked the two letters. And I realize it takes, you know, the two letters takes up more space. And BL is, well, it could be different things. But I wonder whether a compromise might be a small d, a small r. And I'm raising it not feeling strongly about it, but I would react more quickly seeing OR for orange than seeing the O, and then in my mind kind of relating the fact that that's the orange line, and I'm just throwing that out.
I understand, so, Steve. I understand your point of view. I think it might be helpful if we move on to the next slide, because you can start to see the rail disks in context of all of the information that is presented alongside them. And I think, you know, from our perspective, we know from our customer research that our customers feel overwhelmed with the amount of information that's presented to them. So this is our efforts to reduce the letters they need to read. We're doing something very similar on the Better Bus system, right? We are changing the Better Bus routes to have them apply the first letter to the region they're serving, the second digit to the corridor. We're just trying to add a little bit more logic, but I understand that we are definitely taking something away here, and change is always not welcome. So I hear you guys, and I know it. Let's just go through the map if we could, and then we can take another round of questions if that works, Anu.
I wanted to give one caveat to the map, which is that you'll notice that it uses the black letters with blue because we have been looking at the different versions in context. So I'm just giving that caveat.
Why? Yes, we are not final on the rail disks yet, and wanted to talk to all of you before moving to finalizing that decision. So thanks, Dan, for pointing that out. And you can see already on the rail map how hard it is to read these letters inside the rail disks.
Thank you for that caveat, Dan, so that I wasn't set up to see a whole bunch of hands going up. So one of the first places we're going to see this is in the system-wide map. We have rail service changes that are coming at the end of June. And that service change will involve the Silver Line going to one of two different terminal stations. It will go to downtown Largo, and then it will also go to New Carrollton. Okay, so you'll see that depicted on the map through a dashed line. We're trying to bring attention to this service change so that it doesn't catch people off guard. Then in late 2025, the yellow line will then be extending up to Greenbelt as well, alternating service up to Greenbelt. And so you'll also see a dashed line there as well. One of the things we're exploring in trying to make our entire system more intuitive and apply the rules and principles of universal design, making it better for everybody so that it is intuitive for everybody, is to try to reduce the amount of visual clutter. Sarah mentioned that. That occurs on our system-wide map, and it occurs in our wayfinding system. And it's a real challenge that we need to solve in order to help people get through our system successfully. Too much is not good, and too little is not good either. And so the question that we're faced with and we're taking on is, how do we deliver the same or more information more clearly and more intuitively? And so we're going to be coming to you guys in the next few months and engaging you guys in that conversation about what we're doing, why we're doing it, and what your thoughts are about it.
Sarah, please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I had to get off of mute. Thank you, guys. I really like a lot of these changes. I think the one larger letter is great. I would say, personally, feel strongly that it's the white on the blue and not the black on the blue. The green is hard. I'm guessing the black is probably better for me, but I don't know. I kind of like the white. I think what looks better. I also want to note that I have a little trouble with the silver. There's not as much. I would like to see the background color be a little lighter or something that kind of blends together. But in general, I like all these changes and the what you're trying to go with getting rid of the clutter. One thought and something Sandy raised about the entrances and the possible confusion there. I know I really like that you added the exit A, B, C, D, but could that also be switched to 1, 2, 3, 4 and then you don't have a letter confusion? Or is there another problem with numbering things?
Sam talking here. I love numbering things. I'm hoping that we might go to numbering more things. And so I would want to hang on to that potentially for somewhere else. But I hear what you're saying in terms of the colored discs and the exits. I don't think that is going to be, that's going to be that big of a confusion, fortunately, because of the move from circles to squares.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah. I see Steve has his hand up, followed by Dr. Posner and then Patrick Sheehan.
Okay, thank you. This doesn't relate to the visual aspect of the map we're looking at, but it relates to maps. I find that when I go into a metro station, and I've been riding the system for many years, and I'm always needing to remind myself, is it Metro Center or is it Gallery Place that I transfer? What are you? So I'm looking for a map. And the easiest place to find it is the first digital screen after the down escalator. And that's normally not the place. Usually it's placed in the middle of the station. And I understand why, because it's serving two sections of the station. But there are many people who never get to that area. And I'm thinking not just the residents, but also visitors too. So I'm wondering if that first screen at the down escalators might be where the map is placed, and perhaps more fixed than disappearing and some PSAs or announcements appearing. That's more of a question than a comment. What do you think?
I think the placement of our maps is really important. Our system-wide map is essential to navigating our system successfully. And we have been discussing where are the right places for us to put our system-wide maps. We don't want to just put them up randomly. We want them to be in very predictable places. So what you're talking about is presently, frequently people know that there's going to be a system-wide map somewhere on the free side. There should also be a system-wide map always on the paid side that you immediately come to. And then there should be other strategic and predictable locations that we always have our system-wide map. And that is something that we are engaging a design team in looking at and proposing and then incorporating into our guidelines map. So you're very right to identify the system-wide map location and the importance of that. I agree.
Thank you. Phil?
Yes, thank you. I was out in an accessible bathroom for a while, but I came back and I'm looking at the new rail system map. And it looks like there's a new line in blue that looks a little bit like the Hudson River. And then there are little patches of mauve or green around the map. And then there's another line running parallel to the blue line. No, not the blue line, the river. It's incredibly confusing. Now, of course, I'm looking at that very small thing that's posted. It may be more intuitive as to what's going on. But just having the lines is more helpful. What are those? What is that blue thing that's running throughout and then branching and then going up and off screen?
So Philip, you guys are hitting all my greatest hits today. Philip, what I think you're seeing is that the background context for our map is very prominent, and it's prominent to a degree that creates visual confusion and clutter for people. It is something I hope that we have the political capital to look at and refine and propose variations on. Because I do think that what you are identifying is one of the elements that makes the system-wide map less than ideal for everybody that needs to use it.
And
Yeah, but
a little
what is
bit,
that blue thing supposed to be? Is that a
it's
river?
the
Any other
Potomac,
sports?
right? It's the Potomac.
I think it's the Potomac that you're seeing.
So,
Okay.
I do want to mention that the map was designed in 1971 by a famous graphic designer, Lance Wyman. He also has designed other subway maps around the world. He actually had a grand vision to design icons for every single station. There's a lot of really interesting history around this. Sam, Dan, and I and others are involved in trying to optimize this, right? At the same time, we are not famous map designers. That doesn't mean that we might know different information than what was available to Lance Wyman in 1971. We all know how things have changed, how design has changed, and how we perceive visual language has changed. So there's a lot in here. And as Sam mentioned, this is going to be the, you guys know me well now. This will not be our last conversation. I do know that we have rail service changes that go live on June 22nd. So we needed to get this map live and launched, and not to create so much change that it becomes distracting from the actual service changes, which is what we want people to focus on. Because the last thing I want is somebody who needs to go pick up their child from daycare, getting on a train that they think is going one direction and instead takes them somewhere else. So that's where we're really focused to make sure that we are communicating those service changes, and we will along the way make changes in consultation with you and members of the board around the map design and more formative elements of the design, if that makes sense.
Thank you, Sarah. I will remind you that brilliant architects are the ones that design the system to look like a cave so that nobody knows where anything is and it's totally inaccessible. So beware of famous designers.
There's you're very right, sir. Thank you for reminding me.
There is design and then there is function. Go for function.
Will do.
This is Barbara, Ombudsperson for People with Disabilities. I want to add a lot of great points brought up here. I want to add that for people who have cataracts or who have contrast sensitivity issues, the blue and the green lines would run together. I would recommend that you make both of those more like colors on steroids, like a neon color, so that they stand out.
Thank you, Barbara. Next is Patrick Sheehan, followed by Steve Kaffin, and then Sandy Neuzel.
Wow.
Patrick, go ahead.
People are loving this topic, I can see. A question. I've been working regionally with the DMV Moves group, and there is a subcommittee on wayfinding. And one of the things, of course, we're talking about is signage. So is the work that is being done here being shared with that group?
The
Can you hear me
work.
now? Sorry,
What's that?
I was coming off mute. So,
Okay.
I just want to mention for DMV Moves, I would say we are more focused on bus signage at this point in time. But I think at the next meeting, it's a good reminder that I should show them this map. I do know that we have the purple line coming soon. And that there is a request to incorporate that purple line onto the map. And those are, more conversations that we need to have over the next year or so.
Be great if they if the region could just adopt this and just move forward with your design.
Thank you.
But
I know that regionally, that would be quite the task to get all the local and jurisdictions to go along with something like this at the local level. But yes. But it'll be interesting to see, because one of the subcommittees that is out there is one that is on wayfinding. So it would make sense for them to know the work that WMATA is doing here, so that it could at least be discussed and considered going forward, because they'll be looking for more support in the fall on these various committees. And one of them, of course, is wayfinding. So that'll be good.
Thank you, Patrick, and being mindful of the time. We have kept the team over. So thank you for staying a little bit over with us. And we do also need to get to public comments, if any. Steve, did you want to go ahead and take your question quickly?
Sure. Also, we have a period between 5:30 and 5:45 for questions and comments. And I think we're doing that very well right now. So we might actually be on time. You know, it doesn't relate exactly to the map, but another aspect, because I find I'm asking and answering an awful lot of questions from people who aren't from the area. And that's where Dulles Airport is in relation to the map. And, you know, we're talking about decluttering, and I would actually have called the last stop Ashburn, and in parentheses, Via Dulles, although that does add clutter to it. But at a minimum, I suggest, as you're looking at the signage in the stations, adding in parentheses Via Dulles to where Ashburn is, you know, where Ashburn is, I think might allay a lot of confusion that I know is resulting in confused looks when I walk up to somebody and they're looking, they're trying to make sure that the Silver Line is in fact going to Dulles. So that's my comment.
Helpful. Thank you.
Sandy, go ahead.
So a quick historical thing. What is this sort of irregular octagon shape that it's inside the ends of some of the lines? It's not the DC boundary. And will that become confusing with the purple line? And could that at some point go away unless it has some huge significance? And then a comment to address Steve's point, the little airplane symbol gets used for DCA and IAD, and maybe a little airplane, and I mean, not necessarily right away, but a future thought, which does add clutter, is to put an airplane symbol at the Dulles Airport rather than mentioning it at Ashburn, at which point you're past Dulles Airport, and one at the DCA. So what's that blue? What's the octagon? And maybe you could add airplane symbols at some point. Thank you.
I can quickly speak to that. Thanks, Sandy. That, as far as I understand it, is the Capitol Beltway. And the reason it kind of bobs and weaves is because, despite the fact that the map is not geographically accurate, the original design, it was important to convey whether a station was inside or outside the Beltway. One thing I wanted to flag, and this also a little bit speaks to the comment about the rivers, which I completely agree with in principle, but basically, the particular way that we're showing this very tiny embedded in a PowerPoint, I think, is distorting it a little bit, because the river and the parks, that has not changed at all about the map. And I'm just wondering if, because we're looking at it so small, it's actually just, it's defamiliarized how you're used to seeing it, and it's kind of emphasizing things that are not helpful. But yeah, I just wanted it to be clear that we haven't changed how the rivers are depicted. We haven't changed how the parks or the Beltway are depicted. Although I totally agree with comments in principle with Sam that we want to dial some of that back in a future iteration of the map, because to Sarah's point, you know, when this stuff was designed in the 70s, the map The printed materials Metro Mid was literally the only source of information about our service, whereas now you don't need a printed map to tell you how to get around the beltway. You use some other device to do that. So I agree. And the Purple Line may force the issue a little bit, but I think there's a lot we can do to, I think in the past, when we sort of were the only source of information, we had to be everything everywhere all the time. And now the philosophy needs to be to complement the knowledge that people already have or may find somewhere that's more accessible to them on their personal device or by calling a phone number or whatever. That not everything needs to be printed always.
Thank you, Dan. Chair Calabia or Vice Chair Caffin, it is 5:45. I see that Patrick has his hand up, and we also have Janice Samuel with her hand up.
Perhaps we can take those as last comments and then move on to our public comment period.
Sure. So we can start the public comments now if you'd like. And Janice, go ahead.
Yes. So I appreciate that, you know, there are probably just as many comments on these badges as we have people on the line. But at the same token, each of our different visual acuities have thousands of people behind us. I like that the letters are larger. I think we can all make the change in our brain to go from two to one letter, because otherwise the answer would be to increase the size of the badge. And I'm sure that's a whole nother, you know, difficulty. To me, I like the white on the blue. I don't like the black on the green. I wish I could see, you know, what white on the green look like. I think that's difficult. And I agree with Sarah that the silver, that's squirrely. It would be nice if it was lighter, but then you'd have the difficulty of it blending in with the white background. So I understand your challenge with the silver. And personally, as Jane Public, I don't like numbering or lettering the exits. I prefer to have what it is written there. So that's my public comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Janice. Patrick, you had your hand up earlier. Did you still have any additional comments you'd like to make?
No, I'm just hand challenged tonight, I think.
Okay.
Thank you. Good. I'm good. I'm
no problem. And I just want to state that any other members of the public, if you are joined on this meeting and would like to make comments, please let us know. And we will be happy to take your comments, or you can send us an email before or after the meetings at metroaacchair@wmata.com, or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Vanessa, I see your hand is up.
Yes. Audio now unmuted. Yes, I just wanted to go back to the restrooms. I wanted to know, is there going to be some downtime, out of order time for cleaning uniformly, or are they just going to clean as needed? Because maybe if it was something done routinely, then people would know these bathrooms are not available between these particular times. So how will they be doing that? And I'm not sure if that's something that you guys will be working with. Just a question.
This is Anu. Vanessa, the presenter who was discussing the topic earlier is no longer connected with us. I just wanted to state that if restrooms are not available because of maintenance, the stations where customers need to approach the station manager, they will be informed accordingly. Otherwise, there may
There's
be
no a standard. Okay, I was just curious. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And Dr. Posner, I see your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yes, just a suggestion for consultants, and that is the Paris Metro,
Ace,
which has just gone through the Olympics, World Cup, and several other major international events, and the signage in their system is very easy to follow and get around. And so either just looking at it or asking somebody who participated in designing it, because the Paris Metro, why reinvent the wheel? Anyway, just a suggestion for an expert.
Sarah, I volunteer to go to Paris and check it out. Somebody will pay the bill.
Be sure to see Versailles, and it's easy to get to.
Go with you, Sarah. We'll be the Sarah train.
Phil, you're plugging my latest book, the 2024 Paris Olympics, so thank you very much. Are there any further questions or comments? This has been an extraordinary discussion.
Okay. Vice Chair Kaplan, this is Zenu. I do not see any additional hands up.
Okay. Well, that's great. Sarah, thank you very much. And thanks, Dan. Thanks, Sam, for letting us keep us involved in the decision process before things become finalized.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Anu, shall we go to comments?
Sure. If you'd like to resume the topic, absolutely. Yes, we have a few minutes.
No. Well, do we have any members of the public who would like to make comments?
Oh, so you're referring to public comments? Sure.
Sure.
Janice was the only member of the public connected today, and she did make her comments. And I'm just confirming if we have any additional members of the public, and I do not see. However, I would just say that if any members of the public would send us an email or call us, we can be reached at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You know, we have a period that we placed in here for member comments and discussions, but I think our discussion has been so spirited over the last 40 minutes that I think we have handled that area pretty well. I just want to check. Sandy, we have a few minutes. Would you like to use this time to continue or conclude what you were discussing when we first began, or would you like to make that a separate topic for our next meeting?
I think I'm realizing this is more complex than I thought it would be. And I'm wondering, granted, not everybody from the AAC is on the call or the meeting, but, you know, would people like to volunteer to meet outside of, you know, as sort of a working group, so that we could pull it together better? And, you know, in particular, I'm thinking of Sarah Rott and Philippa Mazzell, and I would love to have Janice Samuel weigh in, because these are three people who have low vision and different perspectives, because their vision colors and acuity is different. So I think, you know, that the amongst us, we can sort of cover a range of issues. Would that be a more sensible approach than trying to discuss it? If we could come up with an sort of some thoughts and then present it to the whole AAC to pass along to Metro, or, you know, is it better just to sort of chip away at this? You know, we covered one of about 6 points that I had. So this could be quite cumbersome. You know, Metro's redesigning signage all the time, and the sooner we speak up, the better in ways. So should we take this to an outside working group?
That would make sense, I think. This is
Okay.
Pat. Yeah, we've had task working groups before, task forces. Yeah,
Right.
and then you could just come back through, take
Right.
the time you need to do it, and come back through. You might want to poll the rest of the committee and see who else
Oh, yeah.
might like to, you know, join also. Yeah, good.
I love herding cats. I seem to keep doing it all the time.
All right. Well, I'm going to be using the term recoup, which I know Phil uses, and say that we have about 4 minutes left. And may I suggest that we've had a very full meeting, Anu, and do I hear a motion for us to adjourn tonight?
So moved.
Thank you. Add a second.
I second.
Second.
Did Anu give her closing statement?
I
Anu?
did. I did,
Okay,
but I can
good. I
repeat.
thought you had. Yes, wanted to
Yes.
make sure. Okay, sorry,
Yes.
Chair.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. Okay, hearing no objection, the meeting is adjourned, and thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Good night,
Thank
all.